Are tuned in to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And I am Pastor Marcia McAllister, and it is always a joy to be with you every Sunday afternoon live on Tan Talk Radio. And we always enjoy just giving the Word of God and having some great music and some great chat on this two-hour program that we have from Beacon of Hope Ministries. So we're glad you've joined us. You have time, much time, to call a friend and invite them to tune in. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area listening on 1340 AM, you can also go on the internet for great reception at www.tantalk1340.com. Push the listen button and you can actually see me here in the studio today. And one of my guests is actually on the phone right now. Is she not? All
yes,
right.
Hey, what's happening?
Pastor Michelle, nice to hear your voice. How are you?
You too. You too. Doing fabulous.
Good. We had a great service this morning at Beacon of Hope, did we not?
Amen. Yeah, the anointing was strong.
It really was. I mean, God's presence, the anointing, it was just so marvelous. And to just feel that God was moving around the room and doing things in different people's lives is just always such a blessing, isn't it, to know that's happening?
Yes, it is. And you know what? It's a faith builder, a faith builder.
It is. It really is. You know, just to know that God is just answering prayers and talking to people and they're listening and they're learning. And it's just cool. I mean, it's what it's all about. You know, just the joy of knowing that in ministry, as we obey God and we submit to his leading in our lives, and if we are called into the ministry like you and I are and Pastor Jim and others, it is such a joy to be able to share our faith, isn't it?
It really is. And you know what? It's contagious.
Yeah. It really is. It really is. It is just a I was thinking about that as we left today and went to the nursing home for our monthly nursing home ministry at Palm Garden. Mm-hmm. And just what a privilege it is. I mean, I sincerely mean that. A privilege to be able to share God's word and to be able to sing songs to him about his greatness and his power and his love and all of that, you know?
Yes, I do know. And it really is a privilege. And I don't think we really realize how much of a privilege it is until we go without it for a speck of time, you know?
Yeah, you're right about that. You're exactly right. You know, and I, in the nursing home today, you know, again, the place was just full of people and they were singing and they were just enjoying, you know, talking about God. And we just had a great little service there from 1:45 to 2:30. And we had a lot of our Beaconites that participated and were a part of it. And they got something from it, being able to share God's word in different formats, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, Christine read some scripture about the Christmas story. Pastor Jim talked a little bit. Nan, you know, had written a poem and she read that. And, you know, there was just a lot going on and we sang a lot. And I tell you what, those folks there at the nursing home enjoy that type of ministry. They enjoy people coming in and singing with them. And we had them clapping and participating and raising their hands. And I tell you, that's why my voice is a little froggy right now, Michelle, because I've just been singing and talking all day, it seems like.
No, praise God.
Really?
Praise God for you for doing that and taking initiative, because that's when God put you in their path to bring Beacon of Hope there.
Right, yeah. Yeah, because of our dear Jeannie, who lives there as a resident. My mother was a resident and is now back at her assisted living, but still, we know a lot of people there now, and that's really cool. So, you know, this whole Christmas season that we are starting right now, we're starting a series today entitled Jesus Is. And so we're going to be talking a lot about that today. And the first aspect of who Jesus is, we're going to talk about. But Michelle, when you think back in your life, and ever was there a time where you felt like you really didn't understand who Jesus is?
Have I ever thought about
Yeah.
There was a time that I
Yeah.
didn't know who Jesus was yet.
Yeah, I mean, really understand who Jesus is, you know?
Yeah, because, you know, I think it kind of starts out once, you know, you think it's some dude.
Yeah.
And then you realize that it's way more than a dude, but it's a completely unattainable dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember those days because it's almost like... you know, just for the sake of this conversation, the analogy of a celebrity. You
right.
know, you think Jesus is just this celebrity that is unattainable and unreachable, and you can watch him and look at him all starry-eyed and wish, you know, you could be closer to him. But
right.
there was a time in my life where that's what he was. I knew he was this really great dude, and I knew he was going to make it happen that I was going to have eternal life, but I never thought I could ever be connected with him.
All like, right.
Emotionally.
Okay.
And in my heart.
Boy, that's a great segue to what we're going to talk about today. All right. This first song is a Todd Agnew song. I know you know this one, Pastor Michelle. It's a great song. He is called Jesus.
Amen.
A young couple walks through the temple door, carrying salvation in their arms. A sight for old eyes, redemption draws nigh in the guise of this little baby boy. The prophecies are weaving together, and the waiting is coming to an end. God promised I'd see his Messiah with these failing eyes before I went home. And God kept his word. He is called Jesus, son of David, son of Joseph, son of God. He is called Jesus, Prince of Peace and the Holy One. Oh, Israel, Messiah, Redeemer, and King. He is called Jesus, God's Word made flesh for me. They brought him to me for a blessing, no idea of the blessing they bring. Two doves as a ransom for their little lamb, who will break their hearts but redeem their souls. He is called Jesus, son of David, son of Joseph, son of God. He is called Jesus, the Prince of Peace and the Holy One of Messiah, Redeemer, and King. He is called Jesus, God's Word made flesh for me. I have seen your salvation.
your people is right.
Praise God. He's called Jesus. That's Amen. Who he is. Hallelujah. We're going to Isaiah 9, where we were this morning for a little while, Pastor Michelle, and then we'll go other places. But I want to talk about the prophecy that it was prophesied 700 to 800 years before Jesus came to this earth. It was prophesied through the prophet Isaiah that a baby would be born. And we're going to talk about that scripture and we're going to look at it. If you and our listening audience have your Bible, grab it. I think it will increase your faith to see that this was spoken so many hundreds of years before it ever happened. Doesn't that do something for you, Pastor Michelle?
It really does, because the thing that came to my head was something we read Wednesday, too. It's, I think it was Wednesday. It's, he is the same God.
Yes.
Of then as he is now.
Amen. He is.
So we are going to have the same blessings and
Amen.
Miracles
Ooh, yes.
through him as we did then. And that's, and this proves it, this prophecy here.
It's, I think it's so cool that God knows that we need faith builders, you know, things to happen in our lives, but also scripture to come alive to us. And that is what this ministry at Beacon of Hope is all about, teaching the word of God, because the word brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. And so when we, that's all right, you're calling in, and so Henry Nivens is participating in the show. That's all right.
I know, he was saying, I feel presence. The anointing's strong here
there
in the
you go.
Cardinal Nivens household.
There you go. Hi, Henry. Okay. So we set the stage here in Isaiah chapter 9 by Isaiah beginning to write. Of course, these prophets wrote everything that God told them to write. Chapter after chapter, God is speaking to these prophets, and Isaiah was one of the prophets, one of the ones who wrote a lot about the, not only the birth of Jesus, but also the death of Jesus on the cross. And he foretold all of that 700 or 800 years before it actually happened. So when we look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, it says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For those who lived in a land of deep shadows, light, sunbursts of light." What translation do you have there, Pastor Michelle?
I actually had the message. I was
oh,
reading
did you?
The message, but
okay.
I also have my Living
okay.
Bible.
Okay, well, those are going to be really similar to each other, which is
yeah.
fine. Yeah. But what this is basically saying is people who walked in darkness. I don't know. Do you know anybody who's ever walked in any darkness?
Oh, yeah, I think I know a handful of them, including myself.
Right. I mean, can you talk about darkness and how we know we're in darkness? There might be somebody listening going, I don't even know what that means, or how do I know that I'm in darkness or I'm in light?
Well, you do know, because it's exactly what whenever you feel dark, it could be a physical darkness. You
right.
can feel like you're physically in darkness, and that's a good way to transfer it into your emotional state of mind.
Right.
You know, you feel you're in a dark mood, you know.
Right.
In fact, didn't they even have a Batman, the Dark Knight or something?
Right.
You know,
right.
who Heath Ledger's character was. Or anyway, that darkness is, I see it mostly as an emotional or mental darkness.
Right.
And, you know, some people could be in a physical darkness when they feel physically depleted, and it's
right.
so it has a, you have such a dark, shadowy outlook on things.
Right, exactly.
It's,
and yeah,
you know, I just wanted to mention this before I'd forgotten it. Is we were talking about this earlier in church this morning, and when you were talking about the shadows, I thought of that movie, The Ghost.
Okay.
Remember with Patrick Swayze
yeah.
and Demi Moore?
Sure.
And all the bad people in that movie, they had these, like, icky, creepy demon shadows that came in and engulfed them when they
right.
died. And that's
right.
what I think about darkness.
Yeah.
And when you feel that icky, you know, we always talk about that icky island.
Right.
You know, Icky Island doesn't have a lot of light on it.
No, it's all darkness. And when we get into that bad place in our lives, emotionally, spiritually, all of that, when we get into that place where we feel that there is no light, we're not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, let's say. We're not seeing the hope. We're not seeing the joy. We don't have a reason to live. This is exactly the type of person that Isaiah is prophesying about, people who walk in darkness. But he says, here's the good news. They're going to see this great light. And it's going to be sunbursts of light. And I love that. I love it when, because it's a sunny day here in Clearwater, Florida. As I was driving along to get to the station, I have to go by the water, and it's so gorgeous. The sun's just shining down on the water, and it's just beautiful, you know? And that's what I think about. When God comes into a life and begins to change it, when the darkness, it says in John chapter 1, the darkness cannot overpower the light. Okay. In other words, light always wins out over darkness. Okay. God's light, the light of his nature, who he is. And it just goes on here to talk about that this is going to happen. This was prophesied that this was going to happen, that people may have been walking around in a dark mess in their lives, but God was going to burst on the scene. I love that. God was going to burst on that. Like he says here, sun bursts of light. Wow. You know, when the sun's first coming up, you get up really early, don't you, because of your job?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, and you're out there. Sometimes you're out, you know, working very early, and you see the light begin to come up. What does that do for you?
It's, you know, it does a number of things, but it blesses the socks off me,
right.
to be honest with you, because... And I hate to sound really cliche there, but it really does, because as the light overcomes that darkness,
yes.
so many beautiful things happen. You know, just as it's coming in, the burst, the sun bursts, sometimes you really do see actual sun bursts.
Right.
And you see the most beautiful, brilliant colors of purples and oranges and greens and blues where the sun's coming up over the horizon and creating this beautiful spectacle. You know, and that's it. You know, that alone, it's just like, it puts you in awe and peace.
So it doesn't make you all sad to see the sun coming up. It makes you feel good, right?
Yeah, it makes you feel really good and great and just like, wow, what's today going to bring with such a beautiful start?
Woo! Well, when I quoted that a minute ago, I went right back there to John, the book of John. You don't have to go there, Pastor Michelle. Just read this one verse. It's John 1:5, and I love it. And it's talking about Jesus. What came into existence was life. This is talking about the birth of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the life was light to live by. Light to live by. Isn't that cool?
It is.
The light. No, wait a minute. Let me say it right. The life light. That's kind of hard to say. The mm-hmm. life light blazed out of the darkness. The darkness couldn't put it out. I love that. Blazed out of the darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out. Wow. When the sun starts coming up, there's no way that the sky is going totally black again until nighttime when the sun goes the other side of the world, right?
Right.
So, you know, it's that. And this prophecy is talking about Jesus being that light. And I'm going to quote John 8:12 here, and then I'm going to ask you, Pastor Michelle, why do we need light in our lives? John 8:12, Jesus said this. This is one of his I am sayings, because he calls himself a lot of things in the book of John. He says he's the vine, we are the branches. He says, I am the good shepherd. He says, I am the door to the sheep. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. These are all things. He says, I am the bread of life. In John 8:12, Jesus says this, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Comment.
You know, a lot of things came to my mind, and I'll try to keep it short, because I'll sidebar for a second in that. When you do recognize Jesus as the light, mm-hmm. a lot of things can happen.
Right.
So you're going to burst at the seams on wanting to share the thousands of things, the endless things, infinity things that happen, because your belief and strength just grow exponentially.
Right. Exactly.
But I'll keep it simple in that it's with light you see.
Right.
Period. In the darkness, you simply can't see.
Right.
You
can't see clearly. Yeah.
You have to feel for things. You get frustrated. You can't find things. You end up in the wrong spot. You end up getting the wrong thing. In light, you're secure. You're confident. You know what you're where you're going. You know what you're getting, and that's it. Period. I mean, it's that simple. And it's too bad many of us, including myself, I'm preaching to myself here, can't just remember that.
Exactly. Because we get so hung up on not knowing where we're headed or what's mm-hmm. going on. And we can talk more about that in a minute. But I love that verse that Jesus declares, because it was prophesied in Isaiah 9 here that the sunbursts of light were coming, that the light was coming to this world. And the people who had lived in darkness were going to have the light. I love that. And then Jesus goes over 700 or 800 years later and says, oh, by the way, I'm that light. I love that. I love that. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not wander. No, shall not walk in darkness, but wander too. But shall have the light of life. I love that. And it's joyful. In the next sentence here, I'm in Isaiah 9, about verse, I don't know, 4 maybe. You repopulated the nation. You expanded its joy. Now, this is talking about when Jesus comes to this earth, which we know he already did. And then the next line in the Message Bible says, oh, they're so glad in your presence. And, you know, that's the whole essence of it. When we begin to understand that Jesus is, he is alive. He's right here trying to help us, give us light in our lives, give us direction. We become glad in his presence. Do you want to comment on that, Pastor Michelle? Have you ever become glad in the presence of the Lord, and what happens in you when that happens?
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever become glad. You know, I like just being in the darkness. And
yeah,
not know
you
what's
just
going
like to stumble
and,
around, do you?
Yeah. Yeah, and just like moping around and settling into my depressions and, oh, woe is me. I'm never going to have that peace that everybody else has, blah, blah, blah.
I hope everybody understands that you're just saying all that.
I'm incredibly sarcastic.
Sarcastic, there you go.
Dripping with sarcasm in that
sarcasm.
One.
Sarcasm.
With that gladness is, you know, even in times of frustration or mm-hmm. discouragement.
Yeah.
Because of the times of gladness, it gets through because there's just so much that can be said about this gladness. And people are like, you know, I don't really feel like that's attainable to me. But just sit a minute and meditate and mm-hmm. feel God's presence and honestly, earnestly just relax.
Right.
Don't demand, don't command. And this feeling of peace will come over you and immediately the gladness will fill you, because like when you feel that peace, you just can't put words on it. And gladness is really doesn't really even say what it's
that deep, don't you think it's that deep joy? We talk
the deep joy, right.
You know, Nehemiah 8:10 says the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, you get joyful and you begin to realize you're stronger. When we went to the nursing home just a couple hours ago, we did some Christmas carols and we were just having such a good time, and they were all singing so cool. And when we started to sing Joy to the World, it was just like that room filled up with that joy from these ones who are in a nursing home for the rest of their lives. Many of them are afflicted. They cannot get out of their wheelchair. They cannot go shopping any longer. They cannot live the life they used to live. But it's so fascinating. We were singing The Joy to the World, and then we started singing Silent Night, mm-hmm. which is such a favorite, you know.
Well, right, it is.
I made a mistake, and if I ever do this again, you have the privilege to slap me, okay? Because I made a mistake after church. We had a little time, and we went over and had some lunch, some of us that were going to the nursing home. Well, I know better than to eat anything before I preach or teach or sing. It just is not good for me. It's hard for me to catch my breath, you know?
Right.
And so I had had this unbelievable Five Guys hamburger.
Oh, those are delicious.
With some fries. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so anyway, I was having to catch my breath between each song, you know, because I had eaten too much. And to be perfectly honest, well, one of the little ladies in the back of the room could not hear very well. And did not realize we had stopped singing Silent Night for a second for me to catch my breath.
Mm-hmm.
And her name ended up being Mary. Mary went right on singing and ended up singing a solo. And it was so cool. And here she was in the back of the room. And everybody was so excited that Mary was singing a solo. She didn't plan it or anything. It's just she didn't understand that I had to catch my breath because I ate a Five Guys cheeseburger and fries. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, it was the joy caught on. And people were laughing. And they were my sister was there and she was patting her on the back. She was sitting beside her and saying, oh, that was so cool, and smiling at her. And it was just a joyful time. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, and she was totally caught up in the gladness.
She was. She was glad.
I mean, you can't even stop yourself.
No, she was. And just we were just doing joy to the World and Silent Night and all of that. And it's so cool to be glad in God's presence. Psalm 122:1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, I look forward to going to the house of the Lord. I know you do too. And I know that a lot of people don't. Do you mm-hmm. want to comment on that?
On why they don't? Or, well, actually, I don't think people fully comprehend the house of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is things we've talked about this many, 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 many times, is it's so much easier for us to wrap our heads around something tangible like our earthly lives.
Right.
Like the phone that's in my hand, the dogs that are on my lap, the TV that's in front of my face.
Right.
I can see that.
Right.
Now, with those people who don't understand
right.
what the house of the Lord is.
Yeah.
But they don't understand what it is, so the tangibles have much more value.
Yeah, exactly.
And to be in the house of the Lord is going to be mind blowing. I honestly do not believe anybody alive really knows what it's going to be like because it's going to be that spectacular.
Oh, it's going to be incredible. I mean, heaven. You know, in fact, today, one of the songs we sang was Soon and Very Soon We Are Going to See the King. And people right. were laughing, and we were talking about heaven, and they were teasing me that they were going to see me there. And I said, one of these old ladies on the front row were saying, yeah, you're going to come up to me, and you're going to know me. I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to say, I met you at Palm Garden, you know? And it was a joyful time. And when we look at the next line here in Isaiah 9, it says festival joy. A joy, the joy of a great celebration. This is what it's all about, understanding the gift of Jesus to this earth and the fact that he brings joy to the world, joy to the world, you know?
I do know. And, you know, when we talked, that was part of the service today. And, you know, the image that came into my mind when you said the festival of joy.
Right.
Was a festival, say, in Mexico.
Right.
Uh-huh. Not say that's really what came to my mind.
Okay.
Is a festival in Mexico, and they really know how to have fun in Mexico. And I think about this, what just came into my mind now is we know Mexico is a very poor country.
Yes.
And so they don't have a lot of money to throw into their festivals.
Right.
So it's all things that they do from their heart and their emotion and their passion and their culture. And that really, really epitomizes this Festival of Joy.
It does.
Because it's not monetary. It's not about mm-hmm. how much money you're putting into this inauguration like many, many of these politicians do. It's not how many
right.
bottles of champagne that's on ice. It's not how many pigs are roasting.
Right.
It's they are contributing to this festival for the simple joy of it.
Exactly.
Not to say, oh, I spent this much money, we had this much champagne, we had this much food, and we had so many people show up. It's they are simply having a good time on very little money. And that really epitomizes
That's good.
The joy.
That is. It's just the basic joy of knowing mm-hmm. that Jesus is. Our theme this whole month is going to be Jesus is. Okay? What is he to you? You know? And one of the things that I saw today at the nursing home, Pastor Michelle, was the joy in that room of, it, you know, nobody sat there and said, you wouldn't believe how bad my life is. You know, I'm in a wheelchair. You know, it wasn't anything like that.
They could have and completely justified in that.
Oh, absolutely. And I love your story about the festival, the party, because I grew up in Guatemala, which was next door to Mexico, and I turned 15 in Guatemala, and that's the big party, the quince, they call it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I turned 15 there, and so they had a big old party for me, and I had everybody there were my Spanish friends. I didn't have any American friends that lived in that village with me, with my family. And we had such a party, and you know, I have not thought about that quince party for years till you just brought that up. We had a big old piñata, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we really did have a piñata, you know, and we really did have games and just Kool-Aid and you know, just a little bit of cake and that kind of stuff. That was my quince, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we're talking about here. This, that joy of celebrating. You don't have to have a lot materially.
Mm-hmm.
And at this season at Christmas, don't you think a lot of people get depressed and bogged down because they don't have enough money to buy what they want to buy or acquire what they want to acquire or impress their relatives with all these fancy gifts? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I really do, and a couple of things I want to comment on is, first of all, you know how they have the Xmas.
I saw
somebody say, "Don't cross Christ out of Christmas."
Right. Yeah.
And it's and as you said earlier, you know, he's the reason for this season is
right.
Christ. It, you know, and people are like, well, you know, he's not really born on the 25th. It doesn't matter. What we're doing is celebrating his life.
Exactly.
I don't care when he was born.
That's right. It doesn't matter.
You know
matter.
What I mean? And
you
I'm
are
sure
right.
Now he doesn't care. It's all semantics. And once
right.
we do go in the house of the Lord, it's not going to matter when he was born. The fact is that he was born and we're celebrating his birth.
Amen.
And you know what I sang earlier? Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate.
She
That's
did.
What we're doing.
She did, Bill.
And
she sang that. She sang that, Bill, in my sermon. She did. I got to tell you, Bill.
Hello, this is Casey Kasem, and that's Michelle singing Celebration.
Ah, you're crazy. Thank you. But she did do that. But go ahead, Michelle. I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, I'm happy about it. Bill always has some great little...
Yeah, see, that was good, Bill. That was
inserts.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I wanted to comment on is we were so caught up in the commercialization of this season that
mm-hmm.
we do forget
yes.
what we truly are celebrating, you know, and as simple as, you know, do you know why we have a wreath? It's in a circle because it's symbolic, it said.
Right.
It's symbolic of Christ's never-dying love.
Amen.
All the things that we put up the tree, those things are all symbolic.
Yes, they are.
Of what Christ was for us, even the lights that we're lighting. I like to believe that, you know, I'm going to be putting on my Christmas lights today, and that's the light of the Lord.
Yes.
The light. Jesus was our light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
And I was getting so discouraged because my family, we were getting like, we don't even know what to buy each other. We've grown, and we're out of the house and everything. I said, you know what? This is crazy.
Yeah.
We're just getting so caught up in buying things, and we're buying things for each other that we the other, they don't even want.
Right.
Why are we even doing this? You know,
right.
That's why Thanksgiving is so much fun, because it's the nope. the gathering of family and the celebration and giving Thanksgiving without the money
gifts.
Pressure.
Right.
So we stop giving gifts. We do a little, like that fun white elephant type of gifts exchange.
Yeah.
And so we can bring it back to what we're really celebrating.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know? And it even spilled over into, you know, with we want everybody else to be celebrating all these things, and you never really know why. But if you take the money out and just think of the festival of joy.
Right.
That's
the festival of joy. And, you know, Jesus is all of that. He is the joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And so often I agree that we just get caught up in the holiday, in the pressures, family pressures, etc., work pressures, whatever it might be, and we forget what we're really talking about. We're talking about the fact that Jesus' whole birth and death and everything was prophesied hundreds of years before he came to this earth. God had a plan, and God fulfilled his plan. He spoke through the prophets, and he said, here's what I'm going to do, and I love this. Then he did it, and then he starts telling everybody, here's what I did. You know, he said, I'm going to do it, then he does it. And then he says, hey, I did this, you know?
I have that written in my Bible, too. It's, and unfortunately, he has to remind us of that often.
Yes, he has to remind us, hey, wait a minute, I sent my son to this earth to save your souls, you know, you little turkeys. Come on, get with the program,
uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah,
except,
it wasn't just to show you
gift.
What I could do.
The greatest gift. You
yes.
know, the greatest and, gift.
And that's where the gift-giving
really,
what the gift giving is really about.
It is.
Is that salvation.
Right. You know, I want to mention this light again. And Bill, if you will prepare, I know I told you to do that other CD. Turn it back around. Go back to that first CD we had. Yeah, go back to the first one for this next song. Okay? Because you put the second CD in there, right?
I have your number 7 ready.
Right. Yeah, I want to do that the next time, not this time, okay?
Oh, you want to do that next hour?
Yeah. No, yeah, whatever, yeah. So just go back to that other CD.
I'm back to that other CD with track 3.
There you go. You're wonderful. Okay, see how good he is? Look at that.
He is.
But we're talking about the light here, and this song really applies to what we've been talking about, and then we'll talk more on the other side of this.
In the first light of a new day, no one knew he had arrived. Things continue as they had been, while a newborn softly cried. But the heavens, wrapped in wonder, knew the meaning of his birth. In the weakness of a baby, they knew God had come to earth.
As his mother held him closely, it was hard to understand that her speaking was the word of God to men.
He would tell them of his kingdom, but their hearts would not believe. They would hate him, and in anger they would nail him to a tree.
Thank you.
Praise God. That song fit in perfectly. Oh, my. That's amazing. Thank you for making that adjustment, Bill. I just thought I remembered that correctly. He will bring us goodness and light. How about that, Pastor Michelle? That just fits in.
Oh, it really does. I love it. And you know what I was thinking about when I was listening to that song is that, you know, each year as I grow more and more.
Older?
Yeah. And younger, actually.
Oh, okay.
Because that's what the light of the Lord does to me.
Amen, girl.
It's like a fountain of youth.
Yeah.
But I sit here and as I'm decorating and that sort of thing, I like to put on the Christmas carols and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That one station does it all the time, the Christmas carols all year round.
Oh.
I mean, through the season. And I listen to all the Christmas carols, and I think, wow, you know, they come alive to me.
Yes.
More and more each season because I understand and fully understand the meaning.
Yes.
Just like that, he will bring us goodness and life.
Light. Light.
Light. That's what I meant. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Goodness and light, and it's like, wow, it's perfect.
Exactly.
And when I was a kid, I always thought of the little drummer boy as the little drummer boy.
Right.
I didn't really get all the other parts of that song. I thought it was a cute little song and probably not one of my favorite songs. And it's becoming one of my favorite songs because of the true meaning in it.
Yes.
And that's the light of the Lord.
Ooh.
And it fills you up more and more. It's kind of like what Jesus said about a mustard seed.
Yes.
You have that faith of a mustard seed. It's also that it starts with a little baby ray of light.
Right.
And that light just grows and grows and grows like a fire being stoked.
Isn't that true?
It really is. And people who are out there listening, audience, thinking, you know, I really wish I got what you're saying, and I don't get it, and obviously I'm not where you are. Trust me. I have not always been in this place.
Right.
And I never got what I was saying. I never got what I get now.
What changed for you, Pastor Michelle? What
changed? It really has, and it can happen to anybody.
It can, absolutely.
All you have to do is be, and don't force it. I mean, that's one of the biggest things that prevents us.
That's a good point.
Prevents that light from glowing.
Yeah.
Is that we want to control it, and we want to make it happen, and we want to kind of like, you know, a gas furnace versus a natural fire.
Right.
You know, we can turn the knob up and down to make it higher or lower. And in a natural fire, you can't do that. You have to stoke it, and you have to work at it, and you have to keep making it what it is.
That's a good analogy.
And,
yeah.
Well, with a gas fire, you can turn it up all the way, and it'll only go that high, right?
Right.
But with a natural fire, you can make it as huge your desire is.
Right.
And then the analogy there is that fire is God, and
that's
that
true.
Light of Jesus inside of you can overcome you.
You know, that is so true. Just a few weeks back, you were hosting our radio show here, and I was in Indiana for the weekend with my grandchildren and my children. And it got very cold there, and one of the evenings, my son, Ryan, built a big fire in their fireplace, and they have one of those heat-elator type systems where it takes the heat that fire does and it just puts it out through their house. They have a big log house they built about 4 years ago. And I was amazed at how it warmed up that entire house by this fire. I mean, it's a three-story house. I know the basement probably stayed cool, but I was sleeping upstairs and it was plenty toasty, you know, from the fire downstairs in that family room. And that is a really good example here of what we're talking about. This light, when we allow the light of Jesus to come into our lives and change us and do the work in us. And you said we have to stoke the fire, you know, different times during the evening. My son went in and put more logs on it or he blew on the fire, you know, or fanned it, whatever, to get it going stronger. And so often I think we are just plain lazy and complacent Christians.
And we're perfectly content with those little embers.
You know what?
You know,
and it's not enough.
Some coming off there.
You know, it's not enough. Because how can we experience the strength that we need? I've been through an awful lot lately, and I know that if it had not been for God's strength going on in my life, because I began to realize that even though this is probably one of the hardest years of my life, it has been one of the most strength building years, excuse me, of my life. And I can honestly say today on the radio, the joy of the Lord really is my strength.
It is.
You know, that festival joy we've been talking about, that celebration. You know,
celebrate.
There we go again.
Jesus, celebrate.
I hear you. And that's how you feel. Psalm 29:11 says this: the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Strength and peace. God wants to give us. He wants to give us that joy. He wants to give us that strength. We have got to see things in our life as the gifts that they really are. I mean, I know a lot of us get gifts at Christmas from, let's say, Great Aunt Edna, and it's some disgusting little thing. You know, I used to get things like that as a kid, you know, and think, ooh, I'm never wearing that. Or, you know, I'm not going to be caught dead in that thing. You know what I'm saying?
The infamous fruitcake.
Yeah, oh, I used to get fruitcakes. You know, some of us did, you know, and you think, oh, that stuff is nasty, you know? But when we can truly see the joy in a gift, like the joy that God wants us to see in the gift of his son, it really does bring us strength. And I want to go on down to Isaiah 9, verse 6. And here is what was prophesied again, 700 to 800 years before Jesus came to this earth. And I love this. For a child has been born for us, the gift of a son for us. He'll take over the running of the world. His names will be Amazing Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Wholeness. Now, I'm going to read it in my New American Standard, which I've written in the pages of my Message Bible, because this is the way I learned it as a kid. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. There will be no end to peace. Wow. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. God said, Pastor Michelle, that he was sending his son to this earth and he would be the Prince of Peace. What does that mean to you?
You know, as you're saying this, I'm thinking, could you imagine if this was prophesied today? Like right now, somebody came to us and said everything you just said.
Right.
You know, I mean, and you know, obviously we need to believe it.
Yes.
That's the first thing, is you need to believe it.
Right.
And which I do. And I'm thinking, whew, you know, just kind of putting yourself in that place of that guy being here right now is like, wow. Boy, that is such a relief.
Okay.
What I have to say is because, you know, you won't have to worry about all this silly stuff, you know. The bills and the heating your house and getting to work. And I say that because, you know, we get caught up in the routine of the world.
We do.
Routine of our earthly lives.
Yes, we do.
And we forget about living a fulfilled life.
Oh, absolutely. And we forget that Jesus came to bring us this joy and this peace we're talking about today. He came to bring that to us, and our part is to receive it.
Exactly.
You know,
and once we receive it, what that means to me is when I receive what you just said, that Prince of Peace is
right.
What really is really strong on my heart. Is that Prince of Peace, is that if there's anything negative or any turmoil or, you know, if I use the analogy of sitting at a beach and it's a calm water out there and you see this wave coming in.
Right.
You know, and that wave would be symbolic of this unexpected bill or unexpected flat tire or emotional breakdown. I think that wave's just going to float back in and come crashing on the shore and it's going to be gone. Because I have the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
I'm not going to worry about it. And the stronger you are in that belief that Jesus is your Prince of Peace, the more confident you are that you can endure anything that comes your way.
Absolutely. You know, I think of the story in the New Testament where Jesus took the disciples out on the water. You and I have talked about this on the air before. He took them out for a boat ride in the evening.
Right.
And he promptly fell asleep in the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
I do.
And what happened? What happened?
From the storm, what they're going to do, and they all started panicking.
And this huge storm comes up, and they thought they were dying, right?
Yep, and they just were like, oh, we're going to do it, that's it, that's over. And he's like, have I not told you?
Right. And he wakes up and he goes, what's the matter with you guys?
Why? But, you know, why are you all freaking out?
Well, actually, they had to wake him. He was still sleeping through the storm, which I find that interesting. But I also find it interesting that in that story, he says to them before they got in the boat, you know what? Let's get in the boat and let's go over there to the other side of the lake. So he gave them a clue. And I know I've mentioned this on the air before, but this is coming to me right now. Somebody else needs to hear this right now. He gave them the clue that they were going to get to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
He said, come on, let's take a ride and let's get to the other side. Let's go over there. Let's go over there. Okay. Yet in the midst of the trip, they began to panic because the storm came up. And I don't know about you, but I've been having a whole lot of storms in my life in the last few years, in particular this year.
Right.
And in the midst of that, those storms that come up, if we, you know, here we have Isaiah prophesying 700 or 800 years before it happened. You guys, the Messiah's coming. He's coming. The Messiah, Jesus, is coming. Okay? Now, a lot of people in this world do not believe Jesus, the Messiah, has come yet. And right. So that's a problem. But we believe that based on the word of God, because Jesus said, I am all of these things. I am the Messiah that you've been waiting for. Jesus boldly said, I am he. I'm the one. Hey, I'm him. Here I am, you know?
Right. I am your calm.
Yes, I'm your peace in the midst of the storm, you know?
And that's exactly it, because we do exactly what the disciples do.
Oh, we do.
And we're like, oh, panic. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And like you said, it's interesting that Jesus was sleeping calmly. And now, of course, it's argued, of course, Jesus knew what was going on.
Right.
But is he not also modeling the behavior that we should be?
Oh, there you go.
Engaged in.
That's a high five.
Right?
Absolutely. You know,
I mean, that's it. It's like, it's a storm out. I mean, it stinks, but we'll get through it.
We'll get through it. And when God speaks to us, and this is why Beacon of Hope Ministries is all about the Word of God, because we believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that our mission on this earth is to bring the Word of God to people in such a way, a practical way, like we're doing right now, Pastor Michelle, mm-hmm. where we are speaking on what happens to us on a daily basis, that we're not super spiritual in that respect. I guess we are in a lot of ways, but let me see, rephrase that. We're not saying we know it all. Let's put it that way. We're not saying that we have all the answers, but we do say we have a relationship with God that gets us through the hardest storms in our lives and teaches us that he is our peace.
Right, and that's I think people do get caught up with, you know, the thing that keeps coming to my head is they're so heavenly minded, no earthly good.
Oh yeah,
and the thing is the Bible is teaching us.
Yes,
and to not turn it into what benefits us, but to see the truth in it, and that truth being Jesus, you know, and live that. Simply,
what if the greatest gift you could give this year at Christmas would be the gift to someone of the knowledge that they can live at peace?
Gosh, that would be priceless. That would be a great commercial for MasterCard, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it? Seriously.
I mean, it truly would be priceless. And, you know, the thing is you hear everybody saying, how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you do that?
Walking with the Lord in relationship with him on a daily basis, listening to him, talking to him, allowing him to speak to you. Do you remember, Pastor Michelle? I know you do because I've been just hammered into our heads at Beacon now for weeks. That five words that God gave me several weeks ago, his peace accompanies his plans.
Right.
That whole concept is what got me through this week, for instance, because I left the company that I have been with in real estate for 19 years and ventured out in a new venture this week at the direction of the Lord after 19 and a half years in the gold and black. And I've now joined the ranks of the purple. But anyway, it was a huge decision. You listened to me as I agonized over this, did you not, my friend and counselor, for the last few months?
Absolutely.
And there were practical reasons that I knew I needed to make the switch, but there was the emotional tug on my life because I had worked with some of these same people, Pastor Michelle, for 19 years. And that's a long time. You get a lot of bonds, you know, and it's just, it's safe. It's familiar. And in a lot of ways this week, I walked away from some of the familiar to venture out into where I felt God was leading me. And when we have God's peace in huge decisions or even minute little decisions, his peace accompanies his plans. We're going to talk about that more in the next hour because I believe that's what it's all about. And it is all about learning to walk in peace. Do you have a comment to that before we go to station identification? And then I think we'll have you back on later in the show, right?
Yes. And I do have a comment on that. It's the operative word, or I guess would be the noun here, is his. His peace.
His peace.
Is his plans. And, you know,
yes.
We tend to force it. Well,
right.
You know, here's my plan to get his peace.
Exactly.
I have a comment.
Oh, Engineer Bill has a comment.
Pastor Marsha McAllister's glow-in-the-dark flip-flops, $15. Pastor Michelle cleaning your swimming pool, $45. Living the good life praying for you, priceless.
Oh, that's great.
I love it. That's a perfect.
All right. That's right.
Ending.
That's not my new business, glow in the dark flip flops, but thank you anyway. All right, Bill, Engineer Bill, we never know what to expect. Pastor Michelle, if you can call in again later, I'll let you and Catherine figure all that out. We'll do go station ID. I'm going to do a talk a little bit for a minute on my book and do a song, and then Catherine can join us. Okay.
Perfect.
All right. Love you.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We're a global ministry, and we are getting around that globe in a lot of ways. This is one of those ways. We have been on this radio station now for every single week, a live broadcast now for almost 4 years. February the 6th, Super Bowl Day, is the day it landed on that Sunday. We will celebrate our 200th show. We will talk to you more about that as we get closer to that date. But we're excited about everything God is doing. We welcome you to Beacon of Hope. We are located in Clearwater, Florida at a brand new location. In the last 6 months, God opened up a new, brand new, actually, facility to us. We are on Almerton Road. And fortunately or unfortunately, we're in the same plaza with Five Guys, Poncheros, Papa John's, and a lot of great places. And we are right at the corner of 38th Street and Almerton. If you are in the Tampa Bay area, it's easy to find us. We're right behind the Burger King in a brand new strip mall. So we welcome you Sunday mornings at 11. That's what time the service starts. And we usually get out around 12:30, 12:40. And as we mentioned earlier, the first Sunday of every month, we have a nursing home ministry at Palm Garden in Palm Harbor, which is a great time. We enjoy that ministry so much. We have a lot of other ministries and things going on. We had book club on Friday night. We do a book club that a lot of People read books. We enjoy our discussion and dinner. We do it about every 3 months or so. There will be a new book coming out that we will talk about. I'm not sure even what that book is going to be yet. You can check our website always to find out what's going on at Beacon of Hope. That website is easy to find. It is beaconofhopeministries.com. And ministries has an I-E-S on the end of it, because sometimes people have a hard time finding it because they can't spell it correctly. Beaconofhopeministries.com. It's a newer website. It was redone by our webmaster earlier this year. It is beautiful. We invite you to go there and find out about everything that's going on at Beacon of Hope. Not only do we have Sunday morning at 11, but we also have Wednesday night at 7. And it is a great time of Bible study. It's an old-fashioned type of Bible study, I guess, in a way, in that we are really, we've got our Bibles in front of us. We've got notebooks. We are talking to each other. Nobody raises their hand. Either Pastor Jim, Pastor Michelle, or I would teach it. We normally do that. And then, but we just get everybody engaged in the conversation, in the Bible study. And it is a lot of fun. We really get into some great topics and discussions. And we have a good crowd that comes on Wednesday night. We set up tables. And people, because a lot of people come from work, they bring their dinner, and that is perfectly fine. We have a prayer meeting before Bible study every Wednesday night. It begins at 6:15, and Bible study starts at 7, and it's over at 8:30. So it's kind of a busy evening, and it's always great, and we always look forward to it. So God is doing some mighty things in the ministry at Beacon of Hope. One of those things is my new book, which we talked about last week and which we showed you on the air. I don't have one in my briefcase today because I sold it earlier today. So, but we are excited about what God is doing through this new book already. The title of it is Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost. It is a story. It's my daughter's life. And you've been reading it, Bill? One chapter so far. All right. That's the day she was sentenced. Yes. And you know, this book is already getting into a lot of hands. This week we sent 25 of them to the prison where my daughter is. She's in a minimum security prison in Indiana. And they've already ordered more books. So there's God's moving through the pages of this book. These are actual letters I wrote my daughter this year after she was sentenced. She's had a drug addiction problem for about 20 years. She's 34 years old and has a 10-year-old son. This book is basically stories about her and to her, reminding her, and it's also God's answer. So we welcome you. We just put up a new website. You can go directly to my name. It's MarciaMcAllister.com, and that is spelled M-A-R-C-I-A-M-C, capital A, or you don't have to put capitals, M-C-A-L-L-I-S-T-E-R.com, or go to our Beacon of Hope Ministries website, and it'll link to that. And I've written two other books in 07, and those are there. So you can go there. We pay the postage if you want to order any of them, or you can order them directly off of Amazon, Amazon.com. So I want to tell you about that. Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost. It's getting good reception, and it's been out about a week and a half. So we're excited about what God is doing already in people's lives as a result of that book. We hope it brings peace into their lives, and that's the goal. And for those that are addicted and need to get God's answer on that and really understand what happens in a person's life, get a copy, and you will be blessed. So if you have any questions you want to direct to me, you can by writing me always, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and that email comes straight to me, okay? So, Bill, now I do want to do number 7 on that other CD because it is the song about peace. Okay.
You are my peace.
If I keep my mind on you. Woo, you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Catherine, are you on the air?
I'm here. Hello.
Hello. That's an interesting song, isn't it? Connie just introduced me to that song on a CD she gave me to listen to, and I just loved it. It's just, it just really says that Jesus is, you know, I'm on this Jesus is theme this month. Jesus is our peace, you know? Of course, we don't ever need that peace in our lives, do we?
No, never.
Never, right?
You know what I'm thinking is, it's a good thing he is our peace, because we're not going to find it in this world with all the chaos.
We are not. You are so right.
You know, we have to work, we have to care for our homes, and, you know, even if we're wealthy enough not to care for our homes, we've still got, you know, other responsibilities in life. So we don't have a lot of peace.
No, we don't. We are, the world is chaotic. You said that word, you know, and, you know, growing up, I think a lot of us grew up in a time, and I know I'm older than you and Michelle, but we did grow up in a different day and age. Don't you think, Catherine?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I mean, one example, when we were just visiting Michelle's nieces and nephews over Thanksgiving, and they're all tied to a computer or a computer game and that kind of stuff. And I just totally aged myself, because I said, you know, I just can't relate to you guys sitting there for hours doing this. You know, when I was a kid, we were out in the street playing, you know, touch football.
Exactly,
and smear the queer,
me too.
And, you know, my parents, you know, told us to go out and play, and we were gone all day playing, and,
right.
and that was it. But you just don't see that anymore.
Right. Oh, no, it is totally different. And I really think that life is more chaotic. I mean, you know, my and I love the fact that my grandchildren do all this, but they all play every sport. Not all play every sport. Let me just put it, you know, let me rephrase that. They play a lot of sports. They're in a lot of activities. They are running. They have something almost every night of the week. You know, there's something going on because the seasons change and then the sport changes. We go from football in the fall to basketball, and then we go to baseball, and then we go to golf. You know, it's a year-round project in a lot of people's homes, and there isn't a lot of peace. And what do you say about that, Catherine? Because it's easy for you and I to say now that we are the age we are, wow, we love having our times of peace and our times with God, but there might be listeners out there that go, I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to get to that place of peace, you know?
Well, that's what I was thinking about when I was listening to the last 15, 20 minutes with you and Michelle.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're believers and we believe that Jesus is peace. But, you know, we all took a different journey to get there, but we all truly believe that, but there's so many people that don't.
Right.
And, you know, all I can say to them is, you know, there's nobody I've ever met that doesn't want peace.
Right.
You know, and they'll say, you know, oh, there's all this stress, there's all this turmoil, there's all this, you know, type of thing. And they don't know how to get out of it. They
right.
don't know how to stop it.
Right.
So my statement to that would be you have to find Jesus. And
exactly.
I'll be the first one to say that, you know, growing up, when I'd be, you know, put with somebody that was a, you know, born-again Christian, and they would say things like that, like Jesus is my happiness, or around the holidays, Jesus is the reason for the season, or however that went, Jesus is the season. I would make fun of those people.
Right.
I would say, oh my gosh, they're, what a, you know.
Right.
What a nerd. They're, you know.
Right.
They're brainwashed. They, you know, they're not popular. They're out of it. You know, those
right.
types of things.
Yeah.
Shame on me.
Uh-huh.
Shame
right.
on me, because I do have that feeling now, and I do think that Jesus is peace, and you're not going to find it anywhere else. You know, you're not going to find it in the bars. You're not going to find it, as much as I like to play tennis, on the tennis court. You're not going to find it in a sport. You're not going to find it in a gym or in
right.
a school. You know, as much as you may like those things, and they're, you know, they are a pleasure in your life, they're not peace. They're not bringing you peace. The only thing I've found to do that is Jesus.
Oh, I totally agree. And I want to take us back to Isaiah 9 when it says, for a child has been born, which was a prophecy that this would happen, which you know, we know that is Jesus, the gift of a son for us. And then it goes on, it says, his names will be Amazing Counselor. We'll talk about that another day. Strong God, Eternal Father. And then the Message Bible translates this, Prince of Wholeness, instead of Prince of Peace, which it means the same, but wholeness. Do you want to comment on that and why that word is used there, perhaps, instead of the word peace? Because they mean the same, but I think there's even more in the word wholeness than a lot of people understand.
To me, wholeness implies something that's all together and not broken.
Okay. I agree with that. Yeah.
And, you know, he's the prince of this, of
yes.
prince of wholeness. So, you know, a prince is a, you know, a leader, a highly powerful
there you go.
You know, person. So we're saying that Jesus is the prince of wholeness. So he's the prince, or let's say master of putting you together.
Yes.
Putting you completely together as an unbroken person.
Amen.
And that's really true.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, because, you know, we see a lot of brokenness as we go through life.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, including maybe ourselves at one time or another. And who can really fix you? Who can really put you back together?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And it's a supernatural thing, you know. It's amazing to me. I mean, I grew up wanting to be a doctor, and I was fascinated by and you're scientific too. You and I both have a lot of this in common. One of my favorite classes in all the world was microbiology, and I know that's what you you know. And even though we couldn't see, and I know you still work in this area, you can't see those microbes. You can't see those germs until they grow out.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a petri dish a minute, would you, Catherine? And what happens, even though, for instance, let's say that I have a sore throat. I do today from singing, but not from being sick. It's because I sang my lungs out at the nursing home. Mm-hmm. But okay, so let's say I have a sore throat, but it's because I'm got a bug, okay, of some kind, mm-hmm. and you swab my throat. Why would you, and would you talk about that a minute and how that eventually grows? You know what I'm saying? Do you know where I'm leading you?
Sure. I think so. So when you want to get a culture of your throat, you swab it, and that means you're taking the sample from the back of your throat, from your tonsils, and transferring whatever bacteria is on your tonsils onto this swab.
Right.
And then you're taking that swab and you're inoculating it onto certain types of agar plates.
Explain those words to our listening audience.
Okay.
Some of them don't know inoculating agar plates.
Okay. In the microbiology lab, we have media plates. That's a kind of a solid substance in a plastic plate. It looks like a gel, but it's hard. It's even harder than gel.
Right.
And what you do is you roll that swab on the top of that plate.
Mm-hmm.
So you're transferring what's on the swab onto that agar that's in the plate.
Okay, now you're not seeing anything on that swab usually, right?
What's that?
You don't really see anything gross on that swab.
You don't see anything at all.
And you don't see anything. It's invisible.
You roll it on there.
Mm-hmm.
You're just turning the swab, trying to get anything that's on either side of that swab onto that agar.
Okay.
And the agar has nutrients in it
mm-hmm.
that bacteria like.
Right.
And the bacteria like to, let's say grow, but the better word would be to multiply and reproduce.
Okay.
At body temperature. So mm-hmm. you have incubators in the microbiology lab that are at 37 degrees Celsius, which is our body temperature.
Okay.
And you put those agar plates in there overnight, 18 to 24 hours, and what you see after that time when you take the plate out is you see as what happens as the bacteria are reproducing and multiplying, they actually form visible colonies on the agar that you can see with the naked eye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it allows you to examine that agar plate because different types of bacteria grow different types of colony forms.
Exactly.
So one of the ways to, let's say for your throat, you're looking for a streptococcus.
Right.
One of the ways to see if you have it there is to examine the types of colonies on that plate and see if you see one that looks like a streptococcus.
Okay.
And then there's another test you would do after that to confirm your suspicion that it's streptococcus.
Okay. All right. So even though you couldn't see those microbes on the swab, when they are put in a certain situation that causes them to multiply, then we can eventually see them, and then we know what to do about them, correct?
Right.
Okay, I bring all that up to give us an analogy of our chaotic lives, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because so often we have all this junk down on the inside of us that God really wants to bring healing to our lives, you know, that we are chaotic in that we are running here and there trying to find happiness or joy or strength or diversion, anything just to get our minds off of our issues, let's say. Okay. And we're not even able to see maybe what it is that's bothering us. You know, it's like the little microbes on the swab. We can't even see them until things begin to come together. And let's say it's like the husband has a bad day at work. He goes home and he yells at his wife and then she kicks the dog and, you know, things like that. You know, it's the results happen. And I think that what we are trying to emphasize on this show today is Jesus is our peace. And even when that junk begins to surface in our lives and we begin to feel those feelings, let's say, of hatred towards someone or envy or jealousy or anger or unforgiveness or fear or whatever those things may be, or addictions, when those things begin to, because they've sat around at the right temperature, you know what I mean? And kind of grown in our life, or somebody has said something so bad to us or treated us so badly that suddenly all of those awful, yucky things come together and they multiply and we feel the chaos. You know what I'm saying? You want to take it from there? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. And that's why, you know, unfortunately, there are so many blow-ups and real, you know, domestic violence or anger issues, anger management issues, road rage, all those types of things.
Right.
Because these problems weren't addressed early on. So
yeah.
Like you said, it's building and building to a point where you can't help but see it because there's almost an explosion.
Right. And then we realize, ooh, I need the Prince of Peace.
Yeah. Right.
You know, maybe we didn't even see it for years or months or whatever. We didn't see our need for God. That's really where I'm going to with this, okay? When that thing grows out, and you know we don't plan these analogies. I mean, you know, I'm just, my interest in microbiology and yours just kind of came together right there. But when that thing begins to blossom and show itself for what it is, then we realize, whoa, I need Jesus.
Yeah. Just like in the lab when we see the group, the streptococcus that causes strep throat on the plate, and we do our antigen test and it confirms it, and yes, it is that, then we report that to the doctor and he knows how to treat it to make it
there
better.
There you go. There you go. So we may have listeners today or on down the road, because they can always listen to our shows from the next day on our website, and they're there for all of 2010 right now. We may have listeners that listen and go, I don't know that I need Jesus that much.
True, but what I'd like to challenge them with is your life may be great right now. You know, you may be financially comfortable. You may have a good partner. You may have a great job that you love, and that's wonderful. You know, you're blessed, but I can tell you what, it could be even better.
Exactly.
It could be even more fulfilling if you take the time to get to know Jesus.
Amen. He is our peace. Catherine, you can stick around or you can go. It's up to you, but we're going to do this song by Sela. I know it's one of your favorite groups. It's entitled Mystery.
Okay, I'll be here.
All right.
The child was born on Christmas Day, born to save the world. But long before the world began, he knew his death was sure. The pain and strife Christmas trees, they glow.
a tree of life with blood that sacrificed, the greatest gift.
God, that's a good song.
Yeah, I've never heard that one.
I don't think. Yeah, I'm not sure I have either, but that is really good. You know, I was just looking at these verses that we were just talking about in Isaiah 9, where it says, a child will be born to us, and his name will be Amazing Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Wholeness. And the next line in the Message Bible says, Catherine, his ruling authority will grow, and there'll be no limits to the wholeness he brings. And I love that because it's a process, isn't it, of God becoming more peace to us as we go along with our walk with him. It doesn't just all happen overnight, does it?
Right. No, it doesn't. And as we keep growing in the Word,
yeah,
I think we realize the endlessness of the peace we can get.
Yes, yes. Amen. Amen. And it says right here, there's no limits to the wholeness
right,
he brings.
Right.
So there are so many times that we go through periods of time in our life where we feel relatively stable, let's say. You know, things aren't going that bad.
Right.
And then the crisis hits, and then another one, and then another one. And then we feel like we're just out there in that boat with those disciples, you know, being a beat around, you know.
Yeah.
In every direction. And we just feel like, wow, you know, I got to get a break from all this, you know.
Yeah, but he's putting us in that world with all those storms, you know.
Yeah, he is, isn't he? You know,
so,
he allows it.
He knows what we're up against.
If we never went through the storms, how would we ever learn that he can be our peace?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's true.
You know, if we never, ever needed peace, if we never experienced chaos in our lives, never experienced death, disappointment, discouragement, loss of job, loss of family or a loved one or a partner or, you know, a child.
Right.
If we never experienced loss, how would we know he could be our peace in the midst of that storm?
That's true. Yeah.
Praise God. Jesus
yeah.
is my peace. You know, this whole month we're going to talk about Jesus is, and he's our peace, even when we don't know how to find that peace. Do you have any advice or comments to anybody out there, Catherine, maybe from your own personal experience about finding that peace in the midst of the storm?
Well, it does get easier. And,
okay, that's interesting.
You know, when you, if it's a storm that, like you said, makes you realize that you can't solve this problem or this hurt from let's say a loved one dying. It's bigger than you, and that's how you come to know Jesus.
Right.
The next time that a storm comes, you will handle it better because you will have started your journey by being in the Word.
Exactly.
And when you do that, when these storms come, you sort of have a foundation to approach them with.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I find.
Oh, I agree.
you know, bad things are going to happen.
Yeah.
We're in the world, like we just said. We're in and out of storms. And that's the nature of being in the world. So they are going to come, but the real question is, how do you react to them when they come?
Exactly. Exactly. And
yeah.
Don't you think probably the next time the disciples were out in the boat with Jesus on a rough day, that one of them, you know, nudged the other one and said, "Ah, this is going to be fine. He'll wake up in a minute and take care of it," you know?
Right.
But, you know, our human nature says God's not going to pull me out of this mess this time. Do you know what I'm talking about? The reason I say that, Catherine, is because I think a lot of times we take on guilt. We take on, we realize our part in getting us into that mess, let's say.
Yeah.
And so we think, okay, God's not going to bail me out of this one because, you know what, I kind of caused it, you know?
Yeah. But people don't realize how forgiving he is.
Woo!
And it's not
Amen.
Just, you know, luckily for us, right? It's
yes.
not just one round of forgiveness that he'll give us. He forgives us over and over again.
His mercies are new every morning. Yes.
And he does forgive us. So you shouldn't feel that, you know, that's it. He's turned his back now. He forgave you before. And what do? You went right back to your, you know, bad ways.
Right.
No, that's not the way Jesus is. Jesus is, you know, there's an endless number of times that he's willing to forgive.
You know, and you just said Jesus is, and
didn't even realize I did that. I did just say Jesus
You just
is.
Did. Jesus is. You know, that's not the way Jesus is, you know?
Yeah.
And we're going to emphasize that this whole month. And just Jesus is. What is he? And I like the fact that God, when he gave me that for this month of December, did not say Jesus was or Jesus will be. Even though all that's true, Jesus was. He was the same yesterday, today. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, you know, forever.
Yeah.
And he was yesterday for us. But I think God wants us to concentrate on the present, because even in therapy sessions, when people go to therapy, they say, okay, you know, what do I need to do to take care of myself right now? What do I need to do to deal with my present circumstances? You know, living in the moment. I don't know about you, but I hear that a lot. Learning to live in the moment, you know, and not dwell on the past, not go back to the failures of the past and the things that bogged us down, you know, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Jesus is. What is he? Well, today we want to say Jesus is light. He's your light for those dark times in your life. He's your peace when you feel like you're totally inundated with problems and chaos and all that comes with all that. Jesus is.
Yeah.
When Pastor Michelle and I were talking earlier about Jesus being the light, did you have any comments on that as far as the dark times in our lives?
You know, if that was in the very beginning of your show, I'm not sure that I heard that.
Oh,
I heard
right.
you guys talking about the boat
and the
disciples, you know,
yeah.
being worried when Jesus fell asleep
right.
and getting very stressed. And it made me think that's just like us in the world, you know,
right.
we're, you know, going along okay, but when some bad time comes, we start doubting again. And,
exactly.
and it's, you know, it's our human nature. We are in the world.
Right. We are.
But as far as Jesus is the light, you talked about it a little bit in the service today.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And how it was prophesied that
yes.
that he is the light.
Right. And he is for those dark times in our lives, you
right.
know, that when we don't know direction, we don't know which way to go. We don't know how we're going to get from point A to point B, you know, or if we're even going to get to point B
mm-hmm.
at all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he is our light. And I was thinking about this earlier when one of you were saying something. Growing up in Central America as a missionary's kid that I talked about earlier, all the lights in town were off by 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening. They only had like 2 hours or 3 hours of electricity. And so you had to plan your day around that electricity.
Mm-hmm.
There was like 4 to 6 or 4 to 7 or something. There was lights. Anyway, you know, a lot of times we had services at the tabernacle at church, you know, in the evening. And so they had a lot of oil lamps and things like that. And I grew up getting around town in the evening with my flashlight. And even getting around our house there on the mission station with a flashlight. We all had a flashlight by our bed. And because there were snakes and different things. So yeah. You had to be careful and you had to have the light. And it just reminded me tonight about that importance of the light. And that when we get in those dark places in our lives, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He's the Messiah. Mm-hmm. He came to fulfill prophecy, came to fulfill this. Give me a final thought before we do a song and we'll bring Pastor Michelle back.
Well, Catherine. You can't survive without light.
You can't.
So
no.
The analogy with Jesus being light is really good. You know, like you said, you lived it. Your
yeah.
whole time was revolved around when you could have the electricity or when you had the use of your flashlight.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, we can't operate in the dark.
Right.
Accidents are going to happen. Things are going to happen. Things, you know, there's going to be things you can't do that you need to do if you're just in darkness. So,
exactly.
You know, that's a great analogy that Jesus is the light. He is for sure.
He is. So Jesus is the light. Jesus is our peace today. And that's what we've been talking about. Catherine, you have been a wonderful blessing, as you always are.
Oh, I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Let's listen to Wynonna's song. It's the Messiah. I
must
love this song.
Have been something being born in a manger. With the sheep from the fields and the stars shining over your head. Must have been something, seeing three wise men on their knees before a newborn, with their eyes all aglow, and in their hearts they know it's the Messiah. Speaking the word of your Father, with the promise of life and peace forever. Must have been something. Walk on the street of Jerusalem, with the sins of the world on the innocence of a man, soon everyone will know it's the Messiah. He's come.
Must have been something. for them to realize the Messiah had finally come. Pastor Michelle, are you back there?
Yes.
Wow. Can you just picture this? They've been waiting for all this time. At least they've been waiting at least 700 or 800 years. Actually, they've been waiting thousands, but they had been waiting at least since Isaiah wrote these prophecies, mm-hmm. knowing that the Messiah was coming. Can you imagine walking those streets during those times, knowing that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I'm the one you've been waiting on. I am the Messiah. You know, wow.
It is a wow. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And what a wonderful song to end.
I love it.
This was because Winona actually went through that and found the peace through Christ.
Yes.
She went through a very turmoil-filled life.
Yes.
And she spoke about that very openly and honestly, and how she found her peace in Christ.
Amen.
And so I think she could imagine, as well as us, if we just allowed ourselves, because we have Christ in us,
yes.
that peace in us, to know what it was to walk those streets.
Wow.
I can't imagine how it is to take the sins of the world on my shoulders, but I don't have to, thank God, because of Christ.
Right.
What amazing peace comes with that. And unfortunately, I think many of us complicate it so much and try to force that peace instead of just letting it be peace.
Oh, I agree. You know that times in your life maybe that you've been at the right place at the right time. I'm trying to think if I've ever been at the right place at the right time for some historic thing. I don't think I have, but you know, you know, you look up, let's say you're in Hollywood visiting and you look up and there's a star, you know,
right,
walking down
right.
the street, you know, and you're like, wow, you know, wow, I just happen to be right here and out the door comes so-and-so, you know, whatever. I'm just trying to think of an example. But can you imagine being on the streets of Jerusalem and in the villages of Bethany and all the little places around there when it began to dawn on people that, like Peter, you know, where would I go? Jesus said, you're going to leave too? Because a lot of them left him, you know, because they thought he was a little nuts. You know, Peter, you're going to go too? And he goes, where would I go? You have the words of life, you know? And where they began to realize that he really is the Messiah, you know?
I know. And I mean, I think we all will be there at the right right place at the right time when he does come back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's definitely we're going to be there at the right place at the right time. We're caught up together with him in the air, you know?
Amen. And I do believe there's some people in our listening audience screaming at their computer or their radio saying, I am in the right place in the right time because I just heard about peace.
Exactly.
And I heard about the Messiah, and I heard about the way, the truth, and the life. And now I understand the reason for this season
right.
is we're celebrating
yes.
our salvation.
Our salvation, and that he is the Prince of Peace, and he is the light of the world. We've dealt with both of those today. Jesus is, we've talked about him being the light in our dark places and him being the peace in the midst of our chaotic world and our chaotic lives. And Pastor Michelle, if there are some people out there today that are not sure about the benefits of a relationship with God on a personal level, what would you say to them?
I would say start out, get into it. Listen to our show. If you don't have that opportunity, go to our website, you know, just not to plug our website, but to listen to the shows.
Yes.
And listen to people who have been affected.
Amen.
Because, you know, somebody telling you, here's what the Bible says, and this is what happens, are words that fall on deaf ears sometimes. But if you experience people's experiences, then you understand the true meaning of that peace that comes over you. And the song for the season is Peace on Earth and Goodwill to Men.
Amen.
That's one of the Christmas carols, and there's a reason for that. And when you just listen to the testimony of people who have been affected by Jesus and that are filled with Jesus.
Well, one of the things we did today at Beacon of Hope after the worship time is that we allowed different ones in the congregation to give a praise report, did we not?
Yes, we did.
And there were quite a few, were they not?
There were, and very small ones, because I always like giving my little ones, because I praise God for each and every day.
Right.
And there were huge ones,
mm-hmm.
like mending of family.
Right.
Sadness.
Yeah.
Powerful healing.
Right.
Huge, large and small. I mean,
peace coming
into the fact of death.
Yeah.
You know, again, I don't want to be sound cliche, but as simple as waking up and being able to see or breathe or walk.
Exactly.
Those are true blessings.
Amen. And when God begins to do a healing between family members, and we heard that this morning, and that was so cool. And just the different things that God is doing in our lives to provide for us financially, materially, jobs, and so forth. And to bring the peace in our lives where there is that tendency for each of us to become scared, worried, fearful about what tomorrow brings, you know, especially in the economy and in the day and age in which we live right now.
Well, here's my analogy, and I'm sorry I'm using a not so good thing for an analogy for Jesus, but you know, think of a common cold or the flu.
Yeah.
You know, and you get around someone with the flu, and they can pass it on to 5 people, and then those 5 people will pass it on to 25 people, and those 25 people will pass it on to 100 people.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, that's Christ's peace.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have in Christ. And you asked me earlier, what would I say? That's the same effect. That strength that Christ gives me, I show that strength when we talk about praise reports and we put things to prayer.
Right.
That is contagious.
Oh, it is.
Much more contagious than the flu.
Right.
because it is so powerful, and it's much more rampant than any virus that can be that is in existence, because that strength spills over. And what did you say in the sermon today? Our strength.
Yes, the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Is our strength. You know, if we have that strength, we give that strength.
Exactly.
If we have that love, we give that love. If we have that Jesus love, we give that Jesus love. And if I give that Jesus love to 5 people, those 5 people are going to give that Jesus love to 25 people. And
exactly.
Those 25 people are going to give Jesus love to 100 people.
Right. Well, remember Psalm 29:11 we talked about earlier. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And when we realize that those are available for us, strength, peace, light in the darkness of our lives, peace in the chaotic times, when we realize we can have that and we grab onto those things and say, wait a minute, God said in Psalm 29:11 that the Lord will give strength to his people. That's how I've gotten through that, even that very verse, actually, Pastor Michelle, through some of the hard times of this year. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. That very verse has changed my life this year, because I've hung on to that when I felt weak emotionally, when I felt like I wasn't sure how I was going to get through the absolute storm of my daughter being sentenced to prison. All of that, it was so difficult. And the thought that this was going to happen, and that I would have to visit her in a prison, which I did just a couple weeks ago in Indiana. But during the time of wondering if it was going to go that way, or wondering how I would feel to see her there, honestly, I can tell you the visit was a 4-hour visit. It was wonderful. It was incredible, the experience, and it was peaceful. I had strength to get through that. I wasn't a bubbling idiot. You know, I mean, as far as crying and like, oh, this is awful. No, God has given me the ability to see his plan and his purpose in this time of her being in that prison. And I do believe that when we choose to look at our circumstances and say, God, you promised me that you would give me strength, and you would bless me with peace. And I need strength and I need peace right now to get through my situation. when we go to God that boldly, Pastor Michelle, and we believe it with all our hearts that God wants to give us those things he has promised, that Psalm 29:11, when we draw on the resources of heaven and his word, and when we say, that's mine, strength is mine, peace is mine, I'm not going to let you not give it to me, God. We put a demand on his, I know I'm preaching, I'm sorry.
No,
but
That you nailed it, and you know that's what you get individually from God, and that's what I get individually from God.
Yes,
and I think what's important is what Jesus said. I've said this a million times. The only command I give you is to love me and love each other.
Exactly.
So that's what you're talking about is that love for God, so much love that you can go boldly.
Yes.
And ask for those things, and then the second part of that. Command Jesus gave us is when you went to that prison.
Yeah.
And through your book.
Yeah.
You are giving God's strength to Lori.
And you know.
You're giving that strength to Levi and giving those to other people and that love.
Exactly.
That's what we are. We have Christ in us, so we're giving that to people as well.
That's exactly right. And this book is strong. It is direct. It is letters I wrote to her. It is very strong about what this addiction has done in her life and the lives of others. But it also has God's answer for every issue that's going on there. And yes, praise God, God is in that. And so through our circumstances, through Lori's circumstances, let's say, through yours, through mine, through our listeners, God is teaching us that we can draw. We can like go to the bank. You know, if you have $5,000 in the bank and it's got your name on the account and you go and you write a check and you say, okay, I'd like to withdraw $3,000 right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to stand there and go, nah, you know what? We just want to keep it. Sorry. You know, no, they're going to say, sure, absolutely. How do you want it? Okay. Do you want it in 50s, 100s? You know, you want it in ones? You know, what is it you want it? I had a buyer for a house come to a closing once when I was a new agent with $10,000 in fives and tens.
Oh,
anyway, speaking of that, moving on, the point here is that God expects us to recognize that Jesus is our peace, and that Jesus is our light in our dark times. And those are the two points we've tried to make today on this show. So Jesus expects us to go to him and put a demand on that. Do you have a final series of thoughts on that? You got about 2 minutes, Pastor Michelle.
And you know, yeah, I will wrap it up with my final thoughts would be, you know, you feel like you're on Icky Island, you're depressed, you're in that hole, whether it's financial, emotional, physical, you know, and you feel like you're in a cave.
Right.
Close your eyes a minute.
Yeah.
Just for a second. And if you really, truly surrender to God in those seconds that turn eventually into minutes,
right,
that light is going to be a needle prick. And then it's going to grow just like that fire.
Amen.
And I'm telling you to take a step out in faith and believe me.
Amen.
Because it's going to happen. And I'm a testimony of that.
And so we just, by faith, go boldly and say, you said you're the Prince of Peace. I need
Bring
peace.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. You said you have strength for me. Come on. I'm
That's
here.
It.
Standing
I'm ready
in the
for
need.
It.
All right. Pastor Michelle, it's always a joy to have you and Catherine on the show. Thank you both so much. It's been fun. I'll do a wrap up and we'll see you Wednesday night at Bible study.
Amen. Thank
right.
you for having us.
All right. So for all of you that have tuned in today to Living the Good Life, we absolutely want you to know that God is there for you. He is your peace. He is your strength. He is your light in the dark times. He is the one that gets you through the difficult moments in your life. Some of you have been going through a lot of things. And as we talked earlier, during this Christmas season, it seems to be that there's always those times where we can sink so easily into feelings of insecurity or feelings of unworthiness, maybe not feeling like we meet up to our cousin's expectations, say, or our parents or somebody else. And God wants you to be reminded today that in the midst of our chaotic whirlwind lives that we all lead, that He wants to become your peace. That He is there for you. And when He says to you in Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. He means that for you. And you can go to the bank of His promises and you can draw on that. You can get strength. You can get light. You can get peace for whatever it is you're going through. You know, life doesn't stand still. We progress day by day and we encounter all kinds of things. We have no idea what tomorrow will bring, but I know that God is right there for us and with us as we go through those moments of tomorrow's day. So remember, He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our strength. He is our peace. We invite you to contact us at Beacon of Hope Ministries. You can contact me personally, Pastor at beaconofhopeministries.com. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and learn all about us. And we welcome you to our services Sunday at 11, Wednesday at 7, Bible study. Bring your Bible, notebook, and come and enjoy the family of God at 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater. And bring a friend. You are welcome to join us. In a couple weeks, we'll have a big Christmas dinner at the church right after service. So if you are looking for a great place to attend in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to Beacon of Hope. And as always, it's a joy to share the Word of God with you. If you need prayer, contact us. And I didn't mention it earlier, contact us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Send your request. And we will pray for you. Prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. We are seeing a lot of people use that prayer line. Prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. If you want to be a prayer on that list, just send your name and email address to that address and you'll get on the list. Prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. God bless you. Have a great week. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Pastor Michelle, and Catherine sharing the Word of God with you this day from Beacon of Hope. God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week at 4 o'clock Tampa time. God bless you.